Blog Talk Radio. Across the planet, welcome to Heart on Radio. This is Shauna Ava, and I am so excited. First of all, this is like take two. I don't know who clicked in before, but it was a little. And we have
remix.
It was the remix. And we have a lot of information we want to share with you tonight. So we did not want that to happen. We've got Mr. Alexander Muzzo in the house. Welcome.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
He's already going into accents. The two of us are going to get silly. That's guaranteed. We do a lot of accents. And like I said before, there may sound 8 to 10 people in the room, but it's just us and our higher selves. No big deal, You know, casual. But let's see. I just clicked because I'm wearing his jewelry. I'm always wearing this man's jewelry. He is owner and creator of Crystal Current. And he also does astrology. He does tarot card readings. He's hilarious. He's actually rapping too. We'll talk about that eventually. This guy's got music coming out, really high vibe, conscious, epic music, music videos on the rise. And he also retrieves souls. So, you know, no big deal. No big deal. This is who I've got coming in hot, sitting next to me. I'm super excited. Let's start with a few breaths. Let's get centered and grounded, and then let's have some fun. Ready? Here we go. Oh, now that feels good. And I've already done my yoga for today, but that still is just epic, taking that moment to stop and breathe and get in touch with your inner self and your higher self and get grounded. So now, here we are in the house with Alexander. We have so many topics to cover. We're going to try and do as best as we can in an hour. I'm sure he's going to be back. He'll absolutely be back. I'll make him come back. Okay. And I also, every week, I like to pull a card. I have a lot of incredible decks that I've been using lately. And this one specifically was the Isis Oracle deck. It's unbelievable. It comes with meditations, beautiful pictures. And so I pull a card each week and I try and use that as like, what is the goddess energy or the oracle or the god or the warrior or who is here to help us that we can call upon? And of course, what comes up but the Merkaba. Or the Merkaba, the Merkaba. And this is a card, I think it's so funny. The cards don't lie. The cards don't lie because we've got Alex in the house, right? And this is literally something he works with very closely. He knows how to activate. He knows how to use it. He's going to tell us a little bit about exactly what that is, what that means. It's Chariot of Ascension, spiritual work of the higher initiate. And this is something we can all connect with. So, why don't we dive right into a little bit of that? Tell us about, describe what it is, and how you use it, and just.
I'm going to start a little bit with the backstory of how the Merkaba came to me, because that's how it happened. It wasn't like I was researching and I came across it and was like, this is something I want to learn about. I never really used the internet. I'm kind of like old school, like old man in a young man's body. And I was like, my whole spiritual ascension was me kind of just going to my teacher, God rest her soul. And I would.
That's funny. His act is funny. Sorry.
She's laughing about death. Your soul is eternal. So I was getting my Reiki 3 attunement. And I'm holding onto a crystal ball, getting attuned for Reiki. And I already said that. And as I'm sitting there in the attunement, I come out of the attunement and I look at my teacher, who is like, you cannot amaze this woman. She was just like, she knew everything. She just had this all-knowing look in her eyes. And I look at her and I didn't know what it was. So pardon my French, but I said, Connie, I saw a three-dimensional Jewish star. I'll say the J word.
The star of David.
So her eyes open wide. She like was floored. She's like literally like, leaning back and she's like, wow. And she says, quote unquote, she said, honey, that's called the Merkaba. You need to go home and research that right away. And you're going to end up teaching a class on that here, quote unquote. So that was an amazing story because that's actually how I got out to Sedona, got in touch with Rion, and how I got here. Because upon, for the first time, Googling spiritual things, and I was just like, this is the best idea ever. Why did I never think of this? I type in Merkaba. First thing on the list says Merkaba, sleep paralysis, and astral travel. Click the link. Brings me to YouTube. It's Brother Rion. And there he is talking. I'm calling my ex-girlfriend at the time and one of my best friends. And I'm like, look at this guy. Tell me he's not my brother. He's like, he sees through the veil like I do. Like all these synchronicities. So I research the like how other people were doing the Merkaba. None of it felt right. So I was literally just governed to, I mean, if it came to me on my own, then I was going to research it spiritually on my own. So it was every night just meditating, counter-rotating the fields, because this is after I was already having all this counter-rotating field stuff and counter-rotating the chakras and counter-rotating the hemispheres of the brain and just working with these spinning fields, wheels within wheels. And I teach the class on Merkaba, and literally the next day, my teacher calls me, who was very, very secretive with a lot of her things, and she's like, honey, grab a pen. And I'm like, okay. So she's like, oh, this is the person you call for this. This is the person you call for that. This is, and I'm like, what is it, Connie? What is going on? And she's like, just keep writing, honey. And then I'm like, okay. So she's like, this is the person for this. This is how you do this. This is how you get this crystal treated. This is this and that and all this stuff. So I'm like, all right. This is the day after I just teach the class. She calls me and makes this call, which was very, very confusing to me. So next day she's walking to her car and passes away from a basic asthma attack, only 61 years old. So this was very, very difficult at the time, but it was just amazing. I mean, I taught the class. She said I was going to teach the class there. When I walked in, she told me I was going to end up teaching a class there. The girl behind the counter, if you're listening right now, sorry. she was kind of just like, what? Like, she was just like, this guy's a stranger off the streets. Like, you've never said that to me. Like, she had all these expressions on her face and just stormed into the back room. She was like, you're going to end up teaching here. And right after I taught there, she ended up passing pretty much immediately. So it was like, you know, the master thing, you know?
Okay. So the Merkaba literally just appeared to you. You didn't even know what it was.
I had no idea what it was.
And did it come in as like a spectrum of light? Is that how you saw it?
It was like, at that time, my third eye was like this pale green, like a very faint green. Everything I saw was this faint green color. And what was amazing about that is it reminded me of Slimer from Ghostbusters. Just like that exact color. So it was like something, like, you know, they hide things in plain sight in these movies. So Slimer was some sort of ectoplasm because he was like, he was supposed to be a bad guy, but he was kind of a good guy. And like, you know, he was kind of on the fence. So I think they were hiding something in those original movies with that character, because that was the same color that everything was for years for me until my third eye was fully open with my eyes open. So.
Wow. A lot of things that we find in plain sight. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, we see this all the time in movies and even movies from the past. You know, you're younger and you didn't get it, and all of a sudden you look back and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What did we watch recently that was it was the Arnold Schwarzenegger one and the kid. I'm doing a really good job of describing it. It's that one guy and that day happened and go. it'll come to me, but either way, it's reminding me of that. There's so much disclosure happening in plain sight. If you're aware enough to pick up on it, it's right there in front of you. So, okay. So let's talk more about the Merkaba. I'm so fascinated because for me, I'm not a visual person. Like I am. I appreciate balance. I appreciate the beauty and physical things. But as far as like when I close my eyes to meditate, I'm just like, I'm like really pushing. Okay, that sounded like something else. But I'm really like, I'm trying so hard to get those visuals on. And I'm more of an empath. I feel first. And it doesn't total. I'm even a hands-on learner. That's just how I am. I don't know if anyone else there can connect. I'm sure you can. What are some like visual techniques that we can use to invite the Merkaba? And also, I mean, this is essentially something that we can use the chariot to travel mm-hmm. interdimensionally, correct? We've seen Jesus on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of the Ascended Masters on these in paintings and artwork. So let's dive into that.
So the smallest enclosed space you can have is the pyramid. To have just four sides, it's only four-sided, and an enclosed space. So this is literally the shape of the auras, the shape of everything. There's a Merkaba around more things than you think. This is the shape of the cells, the shape of atoms inside the cells, and so on and so forth. So just knowing that it's there and visualizing it, you can picture it on your own. And when you're spinning your Merkaba to enclose space, the water pyramid, so if you grabbed the top of it like it was the lid of a jar, you're going to turn it counterclockwise while grabbing the fire pyramid at the bottom and spinning it clockwise. There are some teachings out there that show this being done in a different way. And the spinning it the other way, from what my guides teach me in spirit, and like I said, this came to me. This isn't something I read in a book. A lot of the books have things that are led to control certain energies on this planet. So
Misinformation. We're on to you.
So when it comes to spinning your Merkaba, I would invite you to spin it the way that I
Yes, can we do can. That? Is it like loosey, lefty, righty, tidy, like under?
It's kind of.
I see you do. I see him. I've been witness to some of Alex's sessions when he's in close proximity, and I see him do this all the time. It's bananas, and then he like shoots arrows and jazz. Okay, so we'll start here, and then maybe soon we can graduate to shooting arrows. Lots of high dimensional stuff here.
We're going to the arrow. Now is that where we are? We're just gonna skip ahead.
Hey, the cherub had an arrow, right? It was an arrow of love, baby.
Cupid,
that's his name. Yeah, that's right.
That's the bow I'm shooting, actually, as odd as that sounds.
So describe, I'm gonna, if you guys want to follow along with me, I'm going to try and spin a little Merkaba right now.
Mm-hmm.
So left hand over right, sounds like.
Left hand over right. Okay. Grab the water pyramid, grab the fire, envision them. Okay. Spin them counter-rotating. Get the top one. Yep, there you go. Oh yeah, I feel that.
I just got like a hot flash, menopausal sweating. That was
she
one
spun it twice
spin.
And she's sweating.
This is not a dreidel. This is some serious work. Whoa. Okay. And so you just continue.
You'll know when it's closed. When it's locked up and spinning, and it will just continue to spin indefinitely at that point.
Oh, wow. So once you get it started, it will continue spinning. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. Okay. Wow. I think I actually did. I'm literally sweating under my arms. It just got awkward. I hope I'm wearing
TMI.
I'm full of TMI. This
jacket is off. It's gone. It's on the ground.
On the floor. I'm ready for a ponytail. Anybody else? Wow. That's so cool. So we can use the Merkaba to, I would, just to get started, I would assume that's spin it and then mm-hmm. come expand it, sit in it, meditate. Is that a good place to start?
Yeah. So picturing it around the body, picturing it around you, both of these fields, not spinning until you add all of the colors into the Merkaba. Mm-hmm. So what I would do was get my root chakra, start at the bottom and work my way up. And so that one is spinning. How do I even describe this? Okay. So I guess because I'm spinning it from the front, your hand is actually going to, I use the opposite hand. I would use the right hand. And if you look down, it looks like you're spinning it clockwise. But I think if I watch you do that, so okay. Spin it clockwise. So that should be
clockwise this way.
And that looks counterclockwise for me. Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So if you look down at your root, okay. If you look down at your root and you spin that root chakra, it's going to look like you're spinning it clockwise, but from the front, mm-hmm. someone will see you spinning it. It'll look counterclockwise because that's the way that it spins from the front,
okay.
which is, this is one of those things that gets misconstrued and people have confusion because you don't realize that when they're teaching you this about the chakras, you're looking at a diagram that's showing the front of the person, mm-hmm. but you're inside the person. So you have to reverse it, flips it.
Okay.
As you can see.
But you always have left and right. Is that correct? And you're going opposite. Or no, you can just get away with doing
unscrewing
the pickle jar kind of move.
Well, see, this is a little bit confusing because the right side of the body is for sending energy out. So when I spin my chakras, I'll use my right hand. But you don't even have to use your hand.
Okay.
Like when I'm doing things, I usually do it with my right. And then I take with the left and give with the right. I mean, there's things hidden right in the language. Like take money with one hand, give it with the other.
Right.
A lot of times these like sacred philosophies and principles have been hidden in plain sight. And by a lot of times, I mean all the time. So you work your way up through the chakras.
Okay.
So it'll like I said, it looks like you're spinning it clockwise as you look down. So you go red, boom, spin the red. Big breath in, big breath out. As it's spinning, you push the red out into the field.
Mm.
Go up to the sacral. Big breath in, spin it. You see that orange? Breathe out. Push that orange into the field.
I don't know if we'll be able to continue. Lit up. Okay, and I'm serious. Just from my
people's
lower chakras.
Sweaty. Yeah.
Chakras.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Chakras.
Yeah.
Not gonna work.
Not gonna work. Okay. Wow. So and that begs the question for me. I always like to ask people their personal meditation practices because there's so many options out there, and sometimes I feel like you can think, "Am I doing this right?" There's a lot of that chatter in that mind chatter,
mm-hmm.
and. So are you someone that likes to use music? Do you guide yourself? Do you use
mm-hmm.
voice guidance? What does that look like for you?
I am big on, first of all, keeping it simple in the beginning. So, I mean, if you guys are listening to this and you're just starting to meditate, put this whole Merkaba thing I'm talking about on pause and keep it simple with something like the blackboard technique. I like the blackboard technique where you just literally, you picture the darkness that you see in front of you as it's not darkness. You're really close to a blackboard, and any thought that comes to your mind, picture it on the blackboard and then just erase it. So whatever comes out, you think about work tomorrow, you think about this person, like the only reason you're meditating, erase it, picture it getting erased off the blackboard. So that's a good technique.
Mm-hmm.
But for myself, what I like to do is start at the bottom of my body, start in my toes, and literally go left and right. I'll go on my left foot, tune out my toes. Go on my right foot, tune out my toes.
Mm-hmm.
Left foot, tune out the rest of the foot. Right foot, left calf, left knee, right knee. I work my way up the body, literally tuning out everything, including my cheeks, the skin over my third eye. All the way up till I'm all the way up and out of the body with perfect posture, shoulders back, stomach pushed out, breathing properly in through the nose, out through the mouth, or in through the nose, out through the nose. I think whatever way you're comfortable, you want to make sure that your nose breathing and you lower that breath. I see a lot of times people are breathing, they're breathing from the throat, they're breathing from the chest, and they're feeling anxiety. And I literally just like tune in on them. I feel their energy. I'm just like, breathe through the nose, lower it. And then they're like, okay. And I'm like, no, lower it more. And then they're like, oh my God. So that's a little trick you can take with you on your daily life. If you catch yourself holding your breath, not only do you take these big breaths in through the nose, but let's go ahead and lower that breath down to that belly.
That is so myself constantly. If I have any anxiety or things start to kick in, the breath just becomes so shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't focus and my ADD kicks in. So, and I really love that you mention isolating the body parts
because
then that's really cool. That's like what I find is you need like a focus. You need a point to just, there's too many things whirling around. Mm-hmm. It's like one thing. That's why I like pulling these cards each week. Every day I pull a card, truly. But each week it's like, I love that it gives us this trajectory of focus. And, well, I'm kind of thinking of your arrow now. Mm-hmm. But isolating the body parts, that is really, really cool. So just like, let me awaken my left toe, you know?
It's very validating for somebody without their third eye turned on as well, because you can feel the difference. Mm-hmm. You can feel the difference. And you can also feel one side of your body is going to be more easily accessible by consciousness than the other for everybody. So you'll be like, all right, when I send my consciousness down to my left foot, it feels really strong. But when I send it down to my right, I still feel it, but it's not the same. So it shows you that you can send your consciousness to other places. And since it's in your body, you can feel the difference.
Would that represent blockages of some sort? Because everything is energy, right? So if we're not exerting some kind of energy, we can have blockages. Mm. We can have, but that's why, man, I was so good at manifesting migraines and nausea when I wanted to get out of school. I really did. I didn't know that's what I was doing because I was a kid, but I had so much anxiety. And mm-hmm. this energy was just building up in me that I literally would become ill. Mm. And I was like, damn, I'm pretty good at this. I'm good at school a lot, right? But that's what people are walking around with constantly, mm-hmm. is pain, energy trapped in the body, expressing itself as pain, saying, hello, pay attention to right mm-hmm. here. So if we're feeling like there is a different sort of sensation in that one area, would you say that's a blockage, or that's just the day-to-day differences?
Yeah, that's kind of like the whole like Louise Hay 101, how she has the, like, all these ailments are caused by the mind thinking certain thoughts over and over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've amazed people plenty of times just by, because I stand by everything she teaches in that book, like, what's your body telling you or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I should probably know the name of the book, but
what's your body telling you or whatnot?
What's your body telling you or whatnot by Louise Hay?
Or what it's not telling you.
So, if you're having more difficulty accessing a certain area, that is definitely something to look into. Look, and you know what? The whole, like, books on dream state analysis, sometimes I use those in the day-to-day. Like, if I see something really odd with, like, an animal I've never seen before or something happening that's out of the ordinary, I mean, this is a lucid life that where it is a dream state. So use the dream books, use the Louise Hay books, and just anything, whatever it represents to you. These numbers, these signs.
Yeah, and I would even recommend, because I would recommend looking up wherever you're feeling that ailment, mm-hmm. because that will usually represent something in the subconscious too, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, and patterns. Like, I mean, if someone, I won't say you, that's another thing, you want to speak fifth dimensionally, not send things to people mm-hmm. when you're having conversations. But if someone kept stubbing their right foot, it might mean that they're about to make a step that they don't want to, or they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. But if they're stubbing the left foot, the energy in, maybe there's something that they're not doing that they're supposed to be doing. So there's little things like that. Like, I mean, it's like with your hands, like, I mean, you keep clipping your finger on the same hand, like follow the patterns and then decipher the pattern. What does that mean for you?
Exactly. Well, I love that. There's so much good information out there, honestly, to look at. I know Google can be a little oversaturated, but we can put we'll put some links on the places that we recommend. I know I like the Mind Unleashed to look up things. I mm-hmm. always confirm things in Dreamtime. I think Dreamtime is such a special time. And when you can do homework. You can do a lot of homework in Dreamtime. That's like a whole other episode that we will get into, because you journaled, I know for sure.
Yeah, that was my whole awakening, was having
that
someone.
That's how it started?
That was how it started. Yeah, that was how it started, was I keep bringing up ex-girlfriends. One of my ex-girlfriends
thing
would.
Thing number one, thing number two, no.
Some things. ex-girlfriend would, I woke up from a very odd dream. I was like, oh, I just had the weirdest dream. And she's like, oh, well, what happened? I'll look it up in my dream book. And I'm like, you're what? So I wasn't really, I mean, I'm like all 18, 19 years old at the time. I'm just like, okay, whatever. So I tell her, and it word for word, what the book foretold was going to happen. So we're not together anymore in the future. And I have a very, very odd, most lucid dream of my life. And just the quick version of it, there were four drums like oil drums, like where you'd picture like bums burning cardboard, like in a movie, like that type of drum. And three of them were not to be too graphic, but they were filled with dead seagulls, and one of them was completely empty. So I wake up from this, and I'm just like, I need that book. So I end up getting my hands on the book, and just to let you know, there's only three birds in the book, and the only one that it says if you see the bird dead is seagull. The book's called 10,000 Dreams Interpreted, if you want to research it. It is a little bit negative, certain interpretations, so I stopped using it, and I've noticed that it's my dream state just as a whole flows better, but it is an excellent place to start if you guys are just starting off. But basically what it says is to see a dead seagull is wide separation of friends. So to have a full drum of dead seagulls, I was like, these must be best friends.
Aren't you Italian, though? Well, I guess seagulls in your trunk would be a little more apropos. I'm sorry to make Italian jokes.
I didn't say horse head. The oil drums full of horse heads. I mean seagulls. And so I read this and it says wide separation of friends. So I have four people I considered best friends at the moment. So I literally called them. This is very odd for, I mean, me being 34 right now and 19 years old. This is a very long time ago to call men at that age, at that young age, and tell them that you love them. But I called all four of my best friends and I said, I just want to let you know I had a really weird dream. It said that pretty soon three out of four of my best friends aren't going to be friends with me anymore. I just want to let you know that I love you. I hope that's not you. And they're all like, no, we're good. We're good. 1 week later, I'm talking to the empty drum, who was my good friend, Big Dan, and the other three friends. One of them gave me an ultimatum, which I didn't like. One of them started dating my ex-girlfriend, the same girl that showed me the book, and he thought I was going to beat him up. And I was like, dude, I love you. I don't own her. She's a person. You can have her. And the other one just came to me and said, I'm getting too old to be doing the things we're doing. We can't hang out anymore. And I was just like, but the dream. What's happening? So after that, I was in my whole universe, 19 years old, was completely upside down with like, things don't work how people think they do. And it was just like, that's, you want to put a hole in somebody's atheism.
Is that what you were at the time? Like,
no, I was doing the whole like Roman Catholic, going to church on sometimes on Easter, but every Christmas, every once in a while going to confession, that type of deal. I mean, even the dream interpretation itself is in the Bible. I mean, they talk about the story with the seven cows, and one of them, they were all fat except for the last one. The guy was like told to save his grains or whatnot. So, yeah, dream interpretation is all over the place, and it's right there. They've been telling us to do it all along.
Yeah, I find that a really nice dream practice is at random points throughout the day, just ask yourself, am I dreaming right now? That'll actually really help you with some lucid dreaming. And lucid dreaming is being aware that you're dreaming, right?
Yes, thank you. That's very near and dear to my heart. I think we should have named this dream state.
I know,
because
we're
just going
into,
off
I'm
right
telling
now.
You, it's going
well,
to be
this
a
is why we said much more, because we didn't
and
really.
Much more in different
much,
voices.
Much more, because, yeah, one of the things I love to do that really helped me take control of my dream state is whenever something really, really odd goes down in your reality, is retraining your brain to say, am I dreaming right now? So like when you see something funny happen or something really, really odd, training yourself to say, okay, I'm going to check and see if I'm awake right now. Having a couple of tests, because what I've seen is every time I get a test to work, I don't know if it's myself doing this or spirit itself, that test won't work anymore. Like I had this, like I would pinch this pressure point spot on my hand. And eventually I was feeling the pain in dream time. They say, oh, you can push your hands through your fingers through your hand. If you knock on a wall, it won't knock. The light switches won't work. Everything works in my dream state. Mm. So it's like anytime they say, oh, this is how you become. So this is what I do. This is the foolproof way that I've trained. Whenever I do a reality check, I will I'll pinch the pressure point spot on my hand. I'll lightly bite my tongue and trace back what I've done that day three steps. Because one thing you will not be able to do in dream time is trace back even one step. So I'll literally be like, all right, so how did I get here where I'm sitting right now? It's like, oh, all right, I just ate breakfast. I went to yoga before that. And before that, I did this, you know? So you literally, if you can think back stages, you're awake.
Okay. Gotcha. Because I've had some lucid dreaming and I've got to the point where I realize I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, now what?
I like how it doesn't matter how many times I go lucid, I forget that the people that are in front of me aren't the real people. So it's like I always try to like jailbreak everybody. I'm like, hey guys, we're dreaming. Let's get the hell out of here. We can fly. And every time it's like it's just an aspect of myself pretending to be the person. It just goes, no, you're not dreaming. And I'm like, no. We're look at this. There's look at that. There's a flying elephant or whatever, you know.
Oh my God. Mine was Sigourney Weaver. That's how I knew. I was like, wait a second. You're here. I'm here. Why would you be here? I've got to be dreaming. And she was like, of course I'm here. And then I was like, wait, what? And then it got weird. I was in an episode. I was in the movie Alien. So I just started running for the hills. But it was awesome. I got to that point and I just ran to the closest, nearest thing I could see. But I personally have done so much homework in Dreamtime. Setting an intention for what I want to see. And this is going to parlay into what I'd like to tap into next.
Mm-hmm.
Alex has a particular set of skills. He's got
particular set of skills.
among so many others, but soul retrieval is what we will be getting into. And actually you may have inspired this. It just was MIA and he was really doing his homework and came back with some spectacular gifts that he's sharing with people now and his soul retrieval work. It's unbelievable. And you have that show I know with Isabella Green and you were doing
Soul Stories,
which is kind of ties into that as well. But what I started requesting each night, you know, just kind of getting quiet with myself before just passing out and asking to see past lives. I really want to see the past life that is most inhibiting right now. What is something that I am replaying over and over that I need to let go of? What kind of attachment, you know, whatever it is, show me my past life that I need most to pay attention to and work on. So I truly think you inspired that in some kind of a way. And so
thank you.
No, but really this is what I love is that we all trade stories. That's what this show is all about. We all trade stories. There is no right way. There's a unique and creative way to do all of this. And that's our beautiful expression with God, source, energy, light working through us. It is meant to be your own creative, unique expression. So I love that. But, that's what I started doing, and I was able to do some dream time homework. I went to I would always go to this mansion in my dream time, and there was a certain section I could never go further than. And I finally did. And what did I find? I kind of found a little bit of a gremlin that was hiding there. So yeah, it'll get pretty deep. We're going to have to obviously do a dream episode, even though this may have been that, but,
we can, I have so much.
I know. Alex is coming back. Don't you worry, guys. Alex is coming back. And you can request voices. You know, if you want us to do things fully British or what's another one we like to do? 1920 is a special place in our heart. That's for sure. You're a real hot tomato. Oh, tomato. You got a face for radio.
Tomato. Who needs the tomato?
Everything's going to be just Jake. So he described that timeline for me because I remember it and you came back with this amazing gift to kind of do soul retrieval work. So what does that mean? Describe it.
Basically in past lifetimes, there'll be, issues with say somebody getting murdered in a certain way or killed in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, if there's a trauma attached to that, there can be a loss. Sometimes in the past, the person would have abused their own power, which is very common. So they'll literally give this piece up. They'll give this skill set or this whatever it is that they did, they're the best at. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, I'll be back for this later. I can't be trusted with this.
Wow.
Knowing that at some point this work, someone's going to get this piece back for them or they'll know on their own at some point, being once they're that aware, once their soul gets to the age where they feel mature enough, they'll be able to retrieve this, get this back. And once these pieces are grabbed, which sometimes there is tons of negotiations. I've had like going back and forth between Pleiadian angels and Draconian dragons and literally negotiating with them, be like, all right, well, if you guys let this guy go and then they'll give me this piece and this person will be better. And
yeah, those of you who are new to this, what he's mentioning is, I mean, if you believe in something like past lives, which I do personally, you can also have lifetimes in the galactic realm,
mm-hmm.
where you're existing on other planets and as another species. Just like maybe some people think they have lifetimes as a cat or a dog or whatever it is. It's really just an expansion of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess we live those lifetimes. We have traumas, potentially, and connections with loved ones during that lifetime, right? And then that is what can leave a piece behind or a cable, an energetic cable.
Yep. Yeah, there's that's how I find them, is the cables. I'll see the pieces. I'll kind of ask for them to nicely stack up, and then I grab onto the piece and I literally hold it up to my face and peer into it like it's a universe in itself. And from going to there, I can see what's going on, what type of shoes is everybody wearing, and like look at them and look at the world itself, and then just start scanning and tuning into everything. Like, what happened? What do they show me? Every single time it's completely different. Like, you can't make this stuff up, how bizarre it is and how validating it is for the person that I tell this.
I like that word, because I'm sure so many of us, we have moments where we're like, oh, I love this period of time,
mm-hmm.
or I love this place. Like, for me, it's always been
Paris.
Or they're
scared of a place.
There's some kind of, have you noticed in your work that people will be like, oh my God, I've always felt connected to there, et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. There's almost always a connection, or they were intrigued to go there, or they were just like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to go there. Depending on what happened, what took place. But basically, once you find out what was taken, what was given up, what transpired, these pieces will be cleared, and then the pieces will be healed, and then you need to kind of cross anything over attached to them,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of expand the piece through the person's field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, I've had people like literally scream, jump up.
Correct, a stutter.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one of the Soul Stories episodes, I actually gave a testimonial before I got it. I did the session, and the mama couldn't even leave the room. The baby, would 3 years old, would freak out. And where's mommy? Where's mommy? Mommy's going to die. Like, literally saying that. Mm-hmm. And I gave the testimonial. I was like, I knew it. I could feel it. I was like, the baby's not doing that anymore. And then 2 days later, here comes the testimonial. Like, you can watch that, right? I think it was Soul Stories 9, in between 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. I did, like, sometime after 8, I did a session. Sometime during 9, I say what happened. And then Soul Stories 10, I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, everybody validated. Baby's not doing that anymore. Like, mom is like, I'm going to the store. You want to come? And she's like, no, I'll stay here with daddy. And she's like, what just happened? So just by correcting what happened in the past timeline.
Wow. And so that was a 3-year-old.
Yes.
I guess the mom gave permission that you could.
At a young enough age, mom or dad can have permission. Whereas normally it's, if something's in somebody's highest good, there's no malintent. The mom can give permission. Always getting approval from not one being, but numerous beings. And that's something I'd like to have you guys absorb, is don't get pigeonholed into just talking to one higher self or one spirit. Find a committee that is you and ask all of them, what do I do in this situation?
Like,
and take it to a vote.
All in favor.
And then when you get a no, why are you telling me no? Or if you get a one yes, why are you the only one saying yes? Mm-hmm. To actually truly figure out how to heal yourself and your soul on all levels, that's the best way, is by taking things to a vote and learning who you are, what you are. Like how she was saying, aspects from other planets. So before we came here, a lot of people say, oh, that's my guardian angel. How surprised would you be if I told you that you're your own guardian angel? And that's an old version of you, because we, most of us, were in the Pleiades about 40,000 years ago. And this was our next stop, was let's go save Earth. So remembering that you were a Pleiadian and you have a Pleiadian aspect, that just might be these guardian angels that people are talking about sometimes. And if it's not appearing, if it's appearing as a different sex, it's appearing in a different suit, that might be your way of how you can handle that knowledge at that point.
So empowering, because we've truly all come here for this great mission. We really, and you've reminded me of that talking about, we've come from the Pleiades, we've come on a mission with a purpose, and we're all incarnated at this very moment. And I know it can be difficult at times, but this is the job we're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stoked, and I having my brothers and my sisters across the planet waking up and doing this together is so exciting, and I'm thrilled that you are, kind of you're opening the door for that for so many people, and you're making Rion, we had on the show last week, Alexander this week. This is like, I always describe Rion as like surfer dude, like spiritual consciousness, this is everyday people. This is your mom, your sister, your brother waking up, and like Alex is East Coast, like, yo, bro, like just super, you wouldn't expect that, but this it's become, you can't avoid it anymore.
I'm
you can't ignore
to
it.
Sound like that?
I'm trying to. Hey, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? But it's true. It's so exciting. We've come here with like an arsenal of past lives and a mission.
Yes.
I know I have to look at time. But I'm wondering if
about
quickly
18 minutes.
18. Okay, we got a little more time. Good. What I want to know is, what can people do for themselves to initiate a soul retrieval? And do you physically have to go somewhere? I don't think you do, but touch on that.
Here we go with dream state again. ask to see it in dream state. Remember also something else. Remember that 90% of a healing is seeing what happened in the first place. So some of these pieces could most likely be called back to you by you just seeing what was the trauma, what happened, what was this or that or how, like being open to it. When you have these dreams where you're clearly in a different day and age, seeing what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I mean, that was even one of the Soul Stories episodes. I was having this reoccurring dream state for years where it was like, they would want me to get into a confined place. Like it was really net. And I'd be like, nah, hell nah. Mm-hmm. So, little things like that. If there's something really like, oh, I don't want to get stuck in this thing or this thing or that, that's probably a past life trauma that has some peace attached to it because of that reason that you're feeling that way.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You have to be an investigator of your own dream state, and you have to be really conscious of the energy that you're emitting. It's a really fun thing as you start to tap into those higher versions of yourself, because it becomes less and less work. I promise you. Meditation at the beginning is always like, oh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to a point where it just becomes like breathing, driving, second nature, and suddenly you're just excelling so quickly. And I know that's why I want you to describe a little bit about what happened there. I don't think you specifically asked to receive this gift, but I know you went into deep meditation for like a week or something. And how did you come back with this gift? It's out to get personal.
It's going to get personal.
I felt it.
Okay. All right. I guess while Dad's under the bus, maybe you can give him an oil change. So, the whole Freud consciousness, everything's blame mom. So I go, I'm going to go heal this thing with my mom, because I'm having an issue in my relationship with, oh my God, I'm going to say ex-girlfriend again, with my ex-girlfriend.
Okay. I work in relationships. I have a few. I have a string of ex-boyfriends.
No. Every one of these relationships was like 2 or 3 years old. I'm just going to go
Same
ahead
here.
And throw that out.
Same
okay.
Here. Serial monogamous. I get it.
But yeah, so I'm like, I'm thinking I'm having an issue with her. It's got to be from mom. So I go back and I'm healing this issue with mom, or at least I present myself with it. And I see that there's actually a shackle on my right foot, and there's a chain attached to the shackle. So I'm like, okay. And I start following the chain, and the chain ends up at dad, actually. And he's pulling on this chain. Because it was like when I left the East Coast to come out to Sedona, because, oh my God, like Sedona, that's all I have to say. When I left to come here to get out of the gray skies of winter on the East Coast and just be happy, happier and very happy in general.
Good.
But
you
he
leave.
Doesn't. You
family.
Don't leave the family.
You don't.
You were born here and you die
basement.
Here. Or else you're a bad child.
We have like we kind of have similar backgrounds. Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole guilting for leaving, and almost like the vibration of it was, well, oh, your sisters have kids. Who's going to take care of me? So the conversation went a little like this: was okay, snap, and there's a piece inside of the shackle. I'm like, what the f? Pardon my if. So I grabbed that. I'm going to save that for later. I don't know what that is. And I tell him basically, you might need to start thinking about relocation. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, no, I'm not going to take care of you. You're going in a home. But this is my home. So you might need to start. If I'm the one that you want to take care of you, you might need to, you know, start considering being somewhere else. Get on my bus.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, 13 minutes. Yeah, we have plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the way that went. And then from there on out, it was just like, I just cut open the onion, you know, it was just layers and layers and layers and this person and that person. And I mean, I was doing past life regressions as far back as 2000. So
wait, you were regressing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay.
Yep. Soul healing or something. It was a white book. I can't remember the name of it. Mm. We're having trouble remembering things tonight.
wait, you know, Alex tends to fry equipment too. That's always a little bit of trouble in the beginning. No,
I'm like, I keep back.
No, honestly, I'm gonna blame you for that.
Sir, somehow we've been controlling the feminine energy for thousands of years. Hit the button.